Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
The game ends. The Lakers have won it again.
And the game's over and the Pistons have won the world championship. Back to back.
Here's Paxson for three! Yes! Chicago Bulls!
Are NBA champions. The first title in franchise history. The Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
And the dream season is now complete. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
We the North are now we the champions. The Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended after a half century. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
It's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive.
And now, wondering which team will be on this show open next year, Nuggets or Heat, Soren Petro.
Right you are, K. Right you are. Basketball. Get out of my way, because I'm going to dunk it.
Woo!
Those are the lyrics to that song.
Yes.
If people aren't aware.
It is a lyrics first song.
Dave.
That's right.
Dave Tesh, I think it was, or Greg yeah. Tesh.
The brother of.
Yes, so well done.
Started as one of his poems.
Just such a nothing idea that was just perfect. Yep. You know, they could put that, make something out of that, out of the John Tesh song pitch.
Turns out the guys on Saturday Night Live are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Funny people.
Good writers.
Funny people, no doubt. Thanks for joining us here on a Thursday. Much to get to today in the program. I just want to make sure as we sat here, I was like, we forgot to decide that. Here we go.
Live radio.
What are we
going to
do?
Folks, sometimes things
happen. So we take the hoofs and the lips and we grind it up and then we stuff it in a casing and we cook it and we call it a hot dog or a sausage. That's how it's made.
Yeah, we're not the monster, the Komodo dragon that just eats animals. Well, we don't do that. We have to get it kind of prepared.
Yeah, we have
put it together
first.
Prep
the sausage. Stuff the Chumps with Peter Yates, Enoch, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Todd Lebo will be there as well. We'll go around the world with Adam. Blair Kirkhoff in the 4. Actually, there's a lot of college stuff going on.
Yeah.
Right now, a lot of things to talk to one Blair Kirkhoff about. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. Leskey, David Leskey. We had to juggle things around with the short week. Passing on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Leskey on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, Kansas City.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We will get you who you want. It just may not always be when you want them, but
yes,
baseball is baseball, man. Let's let's talk some white hot Royals.
Yeah, not to start.
Some are, some aren't. But David Lesky's fantastic. This team could be 30 games over or 30 games under. David Lesky's one of the best guests in the city.
Yes. We will talk Royals baseball with him. Probably no Royals till we get there. Do we agree? Is that where we think we're
probably
headed?
Probably so.
Let's start, though, with a little bit of Dave Tobe. Dave Tobe met with the media. Had some interesting things to say.
7, 9, and 10.
Okay.
I thought about it. I was like, let's just say it.
Yeah.
7, 9, and 10.
Dave Tobe on the touchback rule.
Feel fortunate. You it's almost like you're sitting here in the studio.
That's right. You're one of us. What were the numbers again? Gotta write that down.
Shift change is often a hectic moment.
Well, it's not like a normal break. It's like nowadays when you have your computer and then you have your iPad and then you got to plug everything in so it gets charged and then
it's a little
few
things have to happen.
Get your notebook out, get the show sheet out, get this, get that. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the changeover. So, I digress. Let's hear from Dave Tobe. Let's see what we think's coming. Tobe asked, what does he think about the new touchback rule?
I don't like it. You know, I think Andy kind of said it all, you know, with what he said. I totally agree with him, but it's not something we're happy about. You know, I was on the committee that went up there and looked at it, looked at all the injuries and looked at the concussion tape and everything. And we advised them that it wouldn't be something that would probably make the play safer, we didn't think. But you know, as it's well documented now, but they passed it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of, reasons why, because of the numbers were up and you have to do something, and I understand that. It's the rule now and we're going to deal with it and we'll coach it up and try to turn it into an advantage for us.
Reaction? I don't know what my reaction is, but
he's making the best of a bad situation. It's a crap sandwich, and he's going to have to down it somehow and make the best of it. That's not much more than that that jumped out at me. Did you hear something other than that?
I did a couple of things that are there. One, I will point out, listen, there's no way around the fact that they've minimized his job.
For sure.
Right? Not, is it 1% or 99%? I don't know. 10? 12%? His job has been minimized. However, fewer kick returns are going to be, and that's that many fewer that it's been. Jason Anderson, I know, in the 12 o'clock hour, towards the end of the 12 o'clock hour, was talking about how many fewer returns there were. And so if you don't have returns, we know they've been taught forever how to run down and run by a guy when there's no return. So not returning, it doesn't add a layer of coaching. It just takes away how many plays you actually get to affect.
Yeah.
It's minimizing your job. I get it. The guy's not going to like it. I get it. I expected a grumpy response.
The importance of his return schemes is minimized when you don't have as many.
It's minimized. The things in there, though, that I heard is he's like, well, the injury part of it. The numbers are there. We don't think it affects it. Well, for sure. Yeah. Like, how many injuries would Travis Kelce have sustained from football if he never played football?
Zero.
I mean, yeah. It reduces the...
I'd say very few.
I just... Like, that is just the grumpy teenager that knows his parents have him dead to rights, knows he should have picked his crap up off the floor, knows he should have done his homework, but it's going to just has no earthly reason.
but he's not going quietly.
No, he's not going down.
No.
I'm fighting this. I'm not taking this. Right? Like, so, it's undeniable. If there are no collisions, if they're not returning it, it will be safer. Not playing football is safer than playing football. So there's that. So right there, I'm like, well, if we're not even going to acknowledge that, then how much of, then what else are you baking? You know? What other BS are we putting into a cake to serve up here in a little bit? We're still going to bring it out. Okay. I guess there won't be any strategy about that. Here's the advertisement. We're bringing it out. Well, not bringing it out. I want to be clear. Last year, he finally got knocked down to where if it was in the end zone, they were touchback.
Yeah.
But they, you know, because he was always at, no. I mean, when they kick it to the one or two, we got to return it. Well, now you don't. And he said they're not changing anything. So, you know, they've given you the opportunity to go to the 25. If you don't bring it out, you better have success. The math better add up to success if you're going to do it.
I do wonder, as grateful as I'll always be for that Tony return in the Super Bowl last year, we joked forever about how our penance for Salvador Perez's game winner in the wild card is going to forever be him swinging at balls outside. I wonder if there's going to be a bit of the, well, I mean, just, you know, why are you returning it so often from the 5? You haven't gotten to the 25 yet. Well, just look what happened with Tony. We might break one of those.
It was vital.
It was huge.
It was vital. He was asked, here it is, will you use the new rule?
We will use it in certain circumstances, like, you know, if we're up in a game, for instance, and, you know, and we don't want to take a shot on goal because they kicked the ball to us, and it might be better for the team just to fair catch it and take it at the 25, we'll do it. You know, but it's not something that we're going to do a lot. I'm going to tell you that. You know, if they kick the ball to us, we're returning it. You guys know that. We want everybody on the same page. We're going to be aggressive. You can't have it both ways. Your kickoff return team, when they turn and run, they have to think that you're coming out with it every time. If they're back there looking to see if he's fair catching or not, the guy's running by him, and you have nothing. So you have to be all on the same page. It has to be one or the other.
Let me real quick also remind people, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore were punt returns.
Yes.
These are kick returns. So all the, like the, well, the return game really helped it. Punt returns. There's no big kick return that was the launching pad to success in the postseason. Not that I can remember.
No, I don't.
So, and he said, well, we're going to bring it out most of the time. But if it helps our offense, we'll use it.
Yeah. Not very often.
Well, that sounds to me like his idea is 14 seconds. Right? We don't want to burn 6 seconds on a return. We know Mahomes is more likely to get bigger chunks and give us a shot at field goal. Sounds to me like it's like 30 seconds and under.
Right. Or as you said, if we're up, we don't want to take any shots on goal, as you said. If they're up 14, let's play, be more conservative. I also heard that in there, too.
If you're up... And that's the smarter play. How is it not the smarter play when you're down? The risk, wait a minute, we're up. We don't want to risk it, but you're up. How is it smarter to be riskier so you should be stealing like a madman down 3 runs in baseball? Baseball's had it backwards for all these years. I'm open to it. Baseball's had a lot of things backwards.
There is some risk reward. If you're down, you're going to take more chances. You're going to throw on fourth down a pass that you might not throw if it's on first down. There is some. I get some of that.
Well,
some risk reward.
But in what way is the kick return?
We need a big play. Let's see if we can get one out to the 50. And you know, if we're down 10, we got to
okay, it's a risk
twice.
Reward.
Yeah.
How often are you rewarded with a big play?
Not very often.
So if we're
not
talking risk, that's the thing is, if we're talking risk reward, we're at a point here over the last couple of years that they're not rewarding. Mm-mm. His special teams are not rewarding the Chiefs for the risks they're taking.
Yep.
Right? Like.
they haven't. I think what was the last in the Texans game in 19, did they get one? Didn't McCole Hardman get one after the Texans scored and kind of broke one? But other than that, I mean, that's one.
Last year?
19.
In 19 in the playoff run?
In the Texans,
yeah. Big comeback.
Yeah. I think that kind of got him going, but that's 4 years ago.
And that's to me what I'd want to hear if they're going to keep doing it. Listen, is there some risk involved? Yes. Will it burn us sometimes? Yes. But the rewards when you get it, like he's had weeks. Well, at least when did this rule come out? A week ago? 2 weeks ago?
I think so, at least.
He's had hours upon hours, days upon days, to do what?
Think about how he was going to answer this question.
Well, and how about go look some things up?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Well, how many times have we brought it back, guys? You know, give me the film. I want a cut-up of all our returns. Give me a breakdown, guys. You've got an analytics department. Where's our average starting point when we bring it back? How are we averaging better than the 25? Well, no, we're actually averaging the 23.3. I don't know what the number is. Or, yes, we're averaging the 26.5. Be ready to go. Guys, I'll tell you what, it's real simple. We, if we're at the 15, you know, from 10 to 15, we average getting the ball to here. Catching it from the 5 to 10, we average getting the ball here. From the goal line to the 5, we average getting the ball here. Hell, from the goal line to 5 yards deep, we average getting it here. Here's our average starting field position. We lost this many kicks. We fumbled this many times. We broke this many touchdowns. Here's the AV, the average value. We increased our chances of winning this percentage. Over the long haul, we have increased our chances of winning by 4% in each and every game by bringing it out every time. Like, what would you say this analytics department they say they have does here? Like, I was, this was what I was intrigued by.
It's been 9 days. It's been more than a week.
I mean, we had interns crack out 32 teams worth of schedule values. Two interns working a few hours a day, yeah. Cracked it out in a day and a half.
And they're idiots.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
They're not really. I'm just kidding.
They've yet to prove themselves.
They're dumb enough to want to intern for us, which is starts at a certain level.
By the way, the kid Cray,
yeah.
I got a nomination for his nickname.
Hmm.
Happy Ending. Think it through.
I'm sure I want to.
What team's he a fan of?
Yeah, got it. Just call him Tug.
That's Patriots fan, folks. If you want to try to connect that dot.
What's going on, Tug?
I think Happy Ending's pretty good.
Pretty good, too.
Not bad.
H-E. He's a Pats fan. I'll let you try to figure out how we arrived at that.
Yes. Think 2018 AFC Championship game.
Yeah. Pre-game activities.
Pre-game festivities.
Yeah.
Prefer to call it a ritual.
Tailgating.
Good luck ritual.
It's not tailgating.
No.
There was tail involved.
Yeah. Maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah.
His version.
The video's back in Florida. They'd have to tell you.
Yep.
So, anyway, sidebar on that front. But you get what I'm saying? Like, I was ready for him to be like, listen, this is where, like, I don't want to hear... It's what we've always done. We want to be aggressive. Let me give you the last one. Here's Tobe, asked by Sam McDowell, columnist of The Star, appears with us every Monday. Why being aggressive is the right approach?
How are you going to score a touchdown if you don't return it? You know, I mean, if you just take a fair catch, I mean, if they're kicking the ball to you and everybody gets their blocks and you have the ball kicked to you in a situation, you return it. You know, you block it up and you go. You know, there, like I said, there will be times when we'll have it'll be a special play when we fair catch it. But you'll be able to tell that we're doing that. You know, he's going to be protected. We'll have guys out and blocking in front of him, and he'll be able to catch it, and we'll take the ball 25 when we need it. But we're going to stay aggressive.
I mean, I guess the back line's going to come back and just try to do almost like mm-hmm. a punt protection or a field goal protection set. But the guys up front still got to guard against the onside kick.
Yes.
So we're not going to see 10 guys at the 10 right. waiting to help fair catch it.
It will be easy to adjust to
but
for
I think
teams.
for more than a casual football fan, you'll be, oh, like, look how everyone's backpedaling down to make sure he's got it. But to which I'd say to his answer, well, how are you going to score a touchdown if you don't return it? Well, understanding that catching the ball, this is a situation there, it's goal line, you know, you have to catch the ball. So that's not part of the equation of fair catching. That it's not. Because you have to catch it no matter what. You have to gain possession of the ball. So that's not new to the fair catch. So muffs happen,
mm-hmm.
right? But that doesn't matter. They happen whether you're fair catching it or returning it. Because that act is still the same. But fumbling it on the return... How are you going to fumble it on the return if you don't return it? Is the obvious retort. Here's one for the analytics department over at One Arrowhead Drive. Do you score more touchdowns on kick returns or do you fumble it more? What is the value, and there's plenty of sites to look at, what is the value of giving the ball to the other team inside your 25 versus having the ball at your own 25? What is the value of a touchdown return versus having the ball at your own 25 with Patrick Mahomes? Because that's part of the equation as well. With Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, league-wide numbers are one thing, but I don't think we need the turd that is the Texans for the last 3 years factored in. Make it in with what you've got with Patrick Mahomes. The number of times that you give the ball away and eliminate the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes factor, which is your single biggest advantage you've got going as a football team, how many what is the point differential? Because how many kick returns did they have for a touchdown last year?
Zero.
Right? I'm not mistaken on that. Right. I'm coming off the top of my head.
I'll check it out, but I believe that's the case.
You know, this would seem he was set up to come rocking and rolling and firing with numbers. In fact, I could do a better job. Dick Vermeil said years ago, if you get a return touchdown of any kind, kick return, punt return, interception return, fumble return, your win percentage, you're like 70-72% chance to win. Now, that's a very generic stat that he threw out there years ago as to why he thought special teams was so important. And he put it in all the returns. Well, you get it. First of all, in half the games, presumably, the better team's probably more likely to have return touchdowns. So, that number in itself is kind of like, well, if we dig deeper, do we find that 65% of all return touchdowns are the team with the better record?
Yeah, and how many of those were, you know, the final score was 42-7, so how much did that kickoff return matter?
There's all, that's where you have an analytics department. This is one where, and look, it's not game day. There's plenty of time to have this conversation. And it's possible they've been working on many other things, and there's a scheduled, all right, here's our week of meetings. Every position coach is going through and meeting with the analytics department and going to look at what the numbers are that are important. Dave, this is your day. We're talking kickoff returns. And be equipped with the numbers. Because this is how you get old. This is how the game passes you by. Right? Is new things come about and you go bah humbug and don't even take a look. Don't even take a look. What you might find is you get in there and it's like, balls to the wall, man. We're doing it totally right. But you might find you're doing something wrong. Why do you self-scout yourself? Well, we want to make sure that we're not doing something on 3rd and 9 or more. We're shotgunned out of it. You know, 3rd and 1, we're fullback dive every time. Well, hell yes, they're ganging up and stopping us. Like, why wouldn't you self-scout your decision-making process and just compare it against how it works? So, listen, it's the response we thought we were going to get. I'm going to be honest with you. A little bit disappointed. He's had 9 days to come up with mathematical reasons as to why what they're doing is the right thing. I didn't hear it. And that's disappointing, I'll be honest with you. I would like to have, for a guy whose job he knows is being minimized, because they're not going to cover. Other teams are going to take advantage of this. And they're just going to fair catch it and come out to the 25.
Yep.
Right? Maybe not to the rate we think, but they're going to do it. So whether he brings it out all the time or not, his job has been minimized. Wouldn't you go validate what you're doing? Or do you know that that's not it? I know when I dig in there. The numbers aren't going to support it. And I can't bring myself to doing a research project that says, my job is kind of moot.
And you know what? Teams who are committing to just, no, we're just going to fair catch it every time, what they're adding for themselves is reps in practice. That's just one more thing they don't have to work on anymore, so now they can spend that time working on something else. And Tim says it all the time. Reps are the currency.
Yeah. We've heard it. Let's see if they apply it. We won't know that till we get to the regular season. I think they'll bring everything out in the preseason to try to find out who your good special teams players are, but also just to get the practice of it. I think it'll be interesting. There's a lot of pressure. Like, this to me is one where every time they make a rule change, I'll quote Matt Cotrero, with the new rules in baseball. Well, eventually it all evens out. But initially, if you can figure out where it's going first, you can gain an advantage. That's what's sitting on the table for the Chiefs. And Andy Reid's always been the best when it's been the traditional things he likes. Watching ball, designing plays, practicing plays, executing plays. But 1% here, 1% there matters, right? And when you ignore that enough times, all of a sudden you're 10% worse. Like, this is one that they need to get right. 913-3810-810. We'll talk some Chiefs football. Of course, Royals Sporting, KUK State, Missouri. Always a topic here in the program. Sporting Kansas City with a big win last night. We'll get into that as well. It's coming up next here in the program. All right, welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Talking a little Chiefs football to get things started. 913-3810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro, SorenPetro. Monty Williams.
Mm-hmm.
6 years, $78 million. It's a tidy sum, is it not?
13 mil per. 13.1.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Hang on, I want to hold that. You looked up how many. When was the last kick return for a touchdown for the Chiefs?
Byron Just Pringle against the Broncos in 2020, week 7.
So last year they brought it out how many times? Or the last 2 years since
last
then?
Last 2 years they've had 66 kickoff returns with no touchdowns.
And what week was the one against the...
I think it was week 7. Let me make sure of this. I thought I had that's what it was. At Denver, week 7, yes.
And that was a 16-game schedule.
And a 43-16 win. So they...
And the bye was after that. So mm-hmm. 10 games plus that year, 2 playoff games.
Yeah.
And they haven't had a kick return in a playoff game, right?
No.
So 12... No. That was 20, right?
20.
So 3 games.
3 games
so
there.
So 13 games, counting the 3 playoff mm-hmm. games. The next year, 19 games, right? Mm-hmm. We've had 2 17-game seasons, right?
Right.
19 games, because there were 2 playoff games at the end.
32.
32. And then last year, 20 games.
20 games. 52.
It's been 50. You got to go back 53 games to when they last returned a kick for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying. I'm just
I'm
saying.
I'm just saying.
Okay? I'm just saying. Monty Williams, 6 years, $78.5 million.
Five, yeah. Just make it .6 to make it
make even. .6. Give me the other $100,000.
Stop it. Stop it, Pistons.
13.1 if you round up.
Mm-hmm.
$13.1 million per year to be the head coach of the Pistons. We don't have an NBA team in this town, so you're probably saying to yourself, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, Jaylen Brown's going to make more money than Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Now, there's more players it takes to play in a football game.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like...
13 or so in the NBA.
Yeah. In the NBA, we understand the salaries are higher, but should they really be higher for the coaches?
Wouldn't think so.
Should Monty Williams make more than Andy Reid?
No.
He does.
I know. That's insane.
He does. I can assure you. Here is the list, by the way, of the 5 highest paid coaches in professional American sports.
Hmm.
Stop me when you hear Andy Reid.
Okay.
Monty Williams, $13.1 million.
Nope, that wasn't him.
Sean McVay, $14
million. Mm-mm.
Pete Carroll, $15
million.
Nope. Sean Payton,
no, that's not
$18
million. Good God, $18
million. Bill Belichick, $20 million per year.
It's a diminishing
By the
returns.
Way, if I'm Bob Kraft, which is a little bit ew.
Ew.
But if I'm Bob Kraft.
Yeah.
Doesn't Bill Belichick have some splaining to do at $20 million per right now?
Yeah. Hey, Bill.
Talk about paying for what you did.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and win a few more games. Okay.
So let's be clear. I am confident that, and we talked about this at Super Bowl time, an extension and an increase are in the works for Andy Reid. And when it's all done, there'll probably be an announcement. And I would expect that announcement to be just before or just after training camp. Like, Andy Reid has to talk a lot in camp. I think they'd probably like to do it where they can. Andy's not going to want to talk about it, right?
Right.
But I expect an extension to get done. How much should Andy Reid make? When you hear that the top of the food chain in American professional sports is Belichick at 20, Sean Payton, recently hired by the Broncos, at 18, Pete Carroll at 15 with the Seahawks, and Sean McVay at 14 for the Rams. I think part of the reason why something wouldn't be done at this point, one, these are probably quite complicated contracts. With all kinds of, if I walk, I get this. How much, you know, you decide to leave, whatever. I don't know. Incentives, who knows? But maybe I'm totally wrong. And a coach's contract's real easy. It's guaranteed as long as you show up to work. Till we fire you, we owe you this much out the door. My assumption is the more money you get, the bigger the contracts get.
Yes.
The longer it is, the more it needs to be absolutely defined to every nth degree of how it's going to work if this relationship ends.
Yes.
By your choosing or ours.
Many more variables to consider.
I don't think you could even begin to talk the numbers until the hiring cycle ended. You knew Sean Payton was out there. You knew it was going to be a big number. And there wasn't any way that Andy Reid's agent, on behalf of Andy Reid, should let him make less than Sean Payton.
No.
So where should Andy Reid be paid? When you hear that the top of the food chain is 20 for Belichick, 18 for Payton, 15 for Pete Carroll, 14 for Sean McVay.
At least $19 million.
Yeah. If I'm Clark Hunt, the best $2 million I can spend is to go to $21 million and make Andy Reid really happy.
Yeah. But you start above everyone but Belichick. That's where you start.
And while I'm ready to go to 21, it's if I get assurances that we're going to at least look at the statistics of the kick return rule.
It's like a house bill. You know, put a little provisions on there.
I'm gonna tag on.
We'll agree to it. We're gonna tack on these other amendments.
We'll pay you, but you have to actually in front of us look at the analytics reports we put in front of you.
Okay, all right, got Doug Gunnett.
5 year, $105 million. I'll do it. Yeah, I will too. I will too.
But you're paying for my Tommy Bahama shirts.
Is there an allotment of Tommy Bahamas? Peanut M&Ms must be in every jar in the Chiefs facility.
King-sized bed in his office because we know he's spending nights.
Oh, yeah.
For his Sunday evening snooze.
Oh, well, I'll be honest with you. You would, you know, a little bit of a name drop, but it wouldn't fit in there. I've been in it. Oh. It wouldn't fit.
Oh, really?
A king size? No.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
No.
Okay. In the office?
Yeah. In his office? No. Like, it's a very nice office. And you see a little bit of his desk in the background, but it's a very nice office. But honestly, for what the man's accomplished, like when they build, he's probably never going to see the fruits of the labor.
Yeah.
But if they redo the practice facility with the new stadium, which I assume will happen, he should basically have an apartment.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously.
He should have the same, yeah.
As much as those head coaches are there overnight, like kitchenette.
You know there are guys who are way down the
hot
the
tub to soak out a little, you know, some frustrations on a loss.
Mm-hmm.
It honestly should be like the nicest little, like, two-bedroom little condo you've ever seen.
Yep.
Right? Like.
The view of the field.
Three conference championships and two Super Bowl championships in the last 4 years.
Yes.
Then there's a nice little moneymaker. Two weekends a year, you can rent that thing out as an Airbnb for $10,000 or something.
Stay in the Reed crib.
Yeah, stay in the Reed crib. That's not bad. Actually, get some money back on it. Put it to Chiefs charities.
You guys can stay in my place.
I do think the Belichick thing, I go back to how we rank our Big 12 coaches. We rank it based on what do we think the next 5 to 10 years will be like. If you want to compare him to Belichick, do any of us think Belichick will have a better next 5 years than Andy Reid?
No.
He's much closer to being toast than he is.
No,
to
he's the most he I think is probably the most overpaid coach in football right now.
Because there's no reason to think he's going to be adding rings
and
with
there's
that
probably a
salary.
Time, right. There's probably a time for a 10-year span where Bill Belichick was grossly underpaid. based on the results he was getting. So he's making some on the back end. I don't really have an issue with them, but they clearly aren't getting at least half of this or a third of this is a thank you for what you've done, where you've put this franchise in the history of professional sports.
Yeah, as a sidebar, Monty Williams, if you're the Phoenix Suns, and you just realized the Detroit Pistons made him the highest paid coach in the history of the NBA, and you fired that guy,
yeah,
you're kind of a dipwad.
A year removed from being named Coach of the Year, 2 years removed from being in the finals.
I mean, and there's actually some good young talent with the Pistons. They're going to get another top pick. What do they have this year? Number one or number two? No, Spurs have one.
Two.
They're two?
They're two. Didn't the kid, wasn't the kid from Oklahoma State injured most of the year?
Cade Cunningham. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Won a championship with him going down like 16 games in my fantasy league. Cade Cunningham will be back. Jaden Ivey they got last year. They traded for the 7-1 kid from Memphis.
James Wiseman.
He actually showed some signs late. And then they're going to get a number two pick in this year's draft. Yeah, they're going to be pretty good. 913-3810-810. Let's go to the phone. Steve, you're in the program. What's up, Steve? Yes, Steve. Go ahead, buddy.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Steve.
Okay, we're in an RV. It's a little noisy. Anyway, just a quick anecdote. I met you probably 20 years ago when you were doing, you were a puppy. You were, I think it's a community Christian church at 47th and Main. And I can't remember exactly why you were there, and I was there for some kind of a fellowship.
Well, it's good to talk to you again, Steve.
Yeah, well, it's only been 20 years, so what's that?
Yeah.
So anyway, and I haven't, I mean, I listen to you regularly, but not all the time, and I'm not sure, I know you've had a lot of conversation with Mahomes and everybody else, more money, you know, and everybody trying to meet the other person. But and Mahomes has been pretty, you know, reasonable about it. But I think that he looks at the whole situation from a much more worldly view than any of the other quarterbacks that are his competitors or his peers, is that he looks at it, he's more than a quarterback, he's a whole business. And he wants to make that business successful. In order for him to do that, he's got to play for a winner. And so I think he's probably very willing to I mean, he's going to maybe want more money, but maybe not. But I think he looks at himself as this exposure and his future in that being the highest paid or the second highest paid. He looks at it from a completely different viewpoint than I think every other quarterback, except maybe, well, I think Tom Brady looks at it that way.
Yeah.
Because he was never out there.
Yeah, I think he's made it pretty clear. Steve, thanks for the comments. It's good to speak to you again. And there was a little background noise, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go, buddy. And be careful. I hope you're not driving the RV, but if you are, hands free, please. It's a lot of vehicle.
Yes.
I agree. I think that is how Patrick Mahomes looks at it. But let's be clear. He's not taking 25% of the top guy. He deserves to be paid to be made the highest paid guy every time it's time to redo his contract. Now, he'll be doing the Chiefs a solid if he doesn't ask for 20% more than whatever the highest contract is. Because he's clearly at least 20% better than everybody else.
It's going to be Burrow, right?
In the last 4 years, how many quarterbacks have more than one conference championship? And we can go back to 18.
Yeah.
And say, how many of them have played in five conference championship games in a row? How many of them have won three conference championships? Yeah. How many of them have won two Super Bowl championships? The answer is none. So no matter what anybody gets, he is worth 10 to 50% more than any other contract anyone's given. I give you that large variance, right, so that you understand how much better he is than Lamar Jackson. He's better than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow bested him once. He got him back. Joe Burrow didn't win the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes did. So whatever anyone else gets, let's be clear. If somebody else gets 50 and Patrick takes 52, he's done you a solid. He deserves 55 to 75 if Joe Burrow gets 50.
Yeah.
So let's keep in mind, I'm all for this. I think he sees the big picture. I do too. But let's talk about what he's really worth. What he's really worth is 10 to 50% more than any other quarterback. So when he takes, when he wants to be the highest paid, but it's only by 4%, 5%, 8%, 10%, he's done that. He's given you the discount because he means that much. So let's be clear and make sure we appreciate it when it happens. Let's go to the guy's name is Chiefs. I think that's a typo.
Yeah, but he wants to talk Royals, though.
He wants to talk about the roster. It's the Royal Chief. You're up, if you can hear me. I don't have a name.
Yeah, it's Robert.
Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, with the trying to find the advantage of a rule change for special teams, it seems to me that we no longer have to keep a Benny Thompson or a Marcus Kemp. In addition, we're also getting rid of the pure fullback. It now creates two spots on the roster that you can have extra players that would be like potential cuts that might be exposed to getting picked up by another team as you're trying to get them to the practice squad. And considering that Kadarius Toney,
well, that's actually not true. They're not increasing the roster.
No. But you don't have to keep a Benny Thompson or a Marcus Kemp.
Right.
You no longer have to keep a pure special teams guy. You could keep someone who is more, has a better ability to contribute to offense.
Yeah, you're talking about the topic we had last week, that with when this rule first came out, that you don't have to keep three linebackers that are never going to play on defense to cover kicks. You could keep John Ross and Justin Ross were the two examples I gave, that neither one of them are ever going to cover kicks and play on special teams, but could theoretically, if the Chiefs can develop wide receivers, be potential weapons to help out with the wide receiving core.
Absolutely, and I think that's vital when you have players like Toney and Niang who are injury prone. So you'd want to keep an extra player in that position group, or you talk about defensive linemen. You can carry an extra defensive lineman because you can't put them really on the cover teams. And considering that we're kind of not great in the defensive interior line, other than Chris Jones, this is a benefit that we need to get out in front of and utilize it instead of keeping guys like Marcus Kemp and Benny Thompson.
Well, and that's exactly what we talked about. And thanks for the call, Robert. I appreciate it. I mean, I know everybody can't listen to all 20 hours every week, but when this rule came down, I think it was the next day, and it's something I'll give credit to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports and does the Red, Gold, and Bold and 2D podcast with me and Jeff Chedia. He jumped on right away. He's like, well, the biggest thing is roster construction. And now you don't have to carry those pure special teams guys if everybody's going to fair catch it. So, like, I think that's something that you get down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You can gamble and not carry those guys. And then if somebody goes down, be scrambling for it. And what it may do this first year is allow, Robert, guys like Justin Ross or John Ross or, you know, a specialty defensive lineman, an extra nose tackle to rotate through there to stay fresher, you know, whatever it might be that you've been going without. But then your practice squad's probably going to be loaded with some, what if? What if everybody's still bringing it out?
Yeah.
What if we are getting guys hurt? You're still going to have to – I think there's still a little bit of an adjustment period there.
Doesn't sound like it's as likely as we'd like to believe that he's going to have room to – keep guys like that because and also it's to me I almost think you should pick one way or the other, because if you're keeping guys instead of the Rosses who you'd like to keep, if you're keeping guys for special teams on the offhand because you're going to do it three quarters of the time, well, you've got a quarter of the time where you've got a guy on your roster who you absolutely have no intention of using in any given day, on any given play.
Yeah.
To me, that's inefficiency.
Agreed. Unless you value special teams to a point that you think that it's the end-all, be-all.
I get the idea that Dave Tope does.
Yes, and then that's up to Andy Reid to be like, no.
Yes.
Tim, we'll get to you here in a second. 913-810-810. You're in the program, or your phone calls next here on Sports Radio, 810 WHB.
I didn't know that was what the new thing was.
There's a new thing.
There's a new thing now.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. Remind me.
For sure.
913-810-810, the phone number, 913-810-810. Taking your phone calls. We'll play Stump the Chumps coming up here in a little bit. Blair Kirkhoff in the 4, Lesky in the 5, Tim in the program right now. Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, again, from the 20-hour-a-week listener club,
Thank you.
A couple minutes talking to what's his passing.
Yep.
And I'm with you that we too easily ask for firing, demand firing, things like that. But dude, I have no faith in this organization. I have no faith. Manager Q, Coach Q, is he just not ready for the big time? You know where I'm going with this? I just don't see it.
I do, and all I can ask you, not ask you, all I would say is, you patience. Like, this is the problem we're seeing. We're magnifying the fact that when you don't go get somebody from out of house, it is viewed as just more of the same, right? And I can tell you that J.J. Piccolo is not just more of the same. I can tell you that there are not as many changes as there would have been had somebody from the outside been brought in. I can't tell you that there won't be more changes. I believe more changes have to come to the scouting and development side of things, unless something really turns around over the last two-thirds of the season. But the changes were made, and now you have to let them ripen, for lack of a better term.
Really isn't their manager yet.
Yeah.
Hired him for, it hasn't been given the tools to do what they've hired him to do yet.
And let me tell you something. I just gave, did you hear last segment when I gave the five highest paid coaches in American professional sports?
I did.
None of them were baseball.
Nope.
Because they don't have the effect on the team, and the sport of baseball has figured that out. They don't have to pay a manager, but you have to pay an NFL coach. Because Matt Quatrero could be the best manager on earth. Crappy players, he's not winning. Like, we had this mystique back in the day, like in the 70s, that Whitey Herzog could hit and run his way.
Yeah.
You know, like, you give him anybody, and he'll know when to put the hit and run on and the squeeze, and it's all crap. Right. What the math found out was that is all window dressing. Can the guy hit? Can he get on base? Can he cover ground in the field? Can he catch it? Does he have a laser arm? Can he throw strikes? Can he throw a lot of strikes? Can his curveball break 14 inches? Like, they have boiled down what really matters, and it's all about acquisition of and development of good players. That's not on Matt Quatrero at all, and it's not something you can judge on J.J. Piccolo in 7 months.
Right, and I understand that. And when you were talking about you got the whole, you know, the players responsible, but don't we have a lot of young players who are still developing at the major league level, and doesn't that make him responsible and his staff responsible for development, and I'm not seeing a lot of development.
Well, have you seen the difference between Michael Massey between April and May?
Well, that's true. Okay, I will give you that. One last thing before I get out.
Yeah.
Did you see that Major League Baseball took over the Padres broadcast stuff?
Yeah, we touched on this a little bit yesterday. Bally's defaulted on their payment, and now MLB has taken over the Padres' local broadcast.
So part of the 20 hours I didn't listen, what do you think about that?
Well, what I said yesterday, that everybody, in fact, I opened with it, if you want to go back on 810WHB.com, it was part of my open. The Padres are a team that spent a ton of money, have a lot of stars, and they're disappointing a little bit this year, but there is still a feeling in San Diego that they're going to be a contender in the long run. And they knew that they were a team that was in the NLCS last year. And Bally Sports can't make enough money on that broadcast to make it worth their while. So basically what Bally Sports has done is they're going and defaulting on all the teams that they're losing money on. So they're losing money on a team that was supposed to be good, super talented, and is the only standalone thing going in San Diego for professional sports, and they can't make money on it. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, they've got a team that everybody knew would be at least a year away and has ended up stinking, doing even worse than anybody could have possibly imagined from a wins and loss record, and they're making money on that deal.
Okay.
The point being, the Royals television deal signed in 2020 is one of the worst television signings in the history of professional sports. Because if you can be, and I'm going to let you go, Tim, thank you, I got a break. If you can sign a deal when they thought they were towards the end of a rebuild in 2020, and go out and you've got an organization, a company that is now just not paying for the ones that they don't make money on, and they're paying you because they're still turning a profit on your team that's right now barreling for more than 110 losses. Like, how can that be profitable unless you are getting nothing for rights fees? Unless you signed, like, the worst TV deal ever. That's what I think of it. Like, you want to talk about cleaning house and scouting and development? How about the business department? Is that person still in charge? I assume not. But whoever signed that deal better not be allowed anywhere near a deal.
All right, since 1967, how many times has a team seeded fourth or worse won the NBA championship? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.